Hear now the word of the Lord. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you to our delegates to annual conference who have come back with us safely, all safe and sound from College Station, David Anquinette Eichner, Dale and Linnell Ross, Jan McCauley, and Holly and Gail Hollinshead. Thank you for the days of business dealings, but also worship and worship training for faith sharing. Jency and Mike Gregory were also there. Jency most likely will be ordained next year, and possibly Tammy Bell as well. So God is doing something special in this church. People are responding to the call to full-time ministry and service, and we give thanks for his work among us. Will you pray with me? Lord God Jesus, we thank you for the word and for the privilege now that as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, that we insert this word, this living word, in between the sacraments of baptism and communion, between the life-giving and the death of Christ, we celebrate the ministry of his word. So God, do a good work, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the San Antonio Spurs messed up my opening illustration. Talking about home team advantage, home court advantage. Well, like you, I was disappointed that the Spurs dropped two games at home with home court advantage. But what a great series it is. And I think that had they not been at home, I doubt seriously they would have closed the margin and actually taken that lead at the very end of the game, even because at 6 minutes left, they were down by 12. But the crowd was cheering for them. And I want to make that connection today, that we are cheering for this family. We are cheering for those that God is raising up in the ministry. And we are cheering for little children who are being baptized into the faith by godly families and to be raised up in the Christian knowledge. The next generation, friends, of believers is in our midst. And we are moving them on in the process to become full-time servants of Christ. And we're very excited about the day you will be in New Hampshire planting a church, my brother. And we're so excited that Diego is officially starting his first day of worship leadership today with us. The future of the church is bright. We give thanks for that. But those Spurs, they didn't help me out. Because friends, I did some research. You know, there's analytics about everything. And the team with home court advantage, even in the playoffs, usually wins 60% of the time. Well, didn't so happen yet. So we'll see what happens if they can extend the series longer. We sure hope so. But I wanted to say that I opened up with that illustration to remind you, as I said a moment ago, that I was the one who baptized Benjamin and Madeline and Charlotte here in the sanctuary. And so when we were talking about his ordination and talking about wanting to get Madison baptized today, what did he say? I want to do it in my home church. Friends, for the Martins family, this is their home church. This is their home court advantage. This is the team who stands behind them, rooting for them and cheering for them. And we celebrate that occasion. And that's what the message is about today as we begin a sermon series on the book of Philippians. As you see the sermon title, we're talking about this letter of joy, but we're also talking about home team thinking while we are away from home. Because the Apostle Paul is away from home. He is under house arrest in Rome, most likely, probably chained to a Roman guard. Now, he's not in a jail cell. He had to pay to rent some kind of place to live. But because he was under house arrest, he didn't have something on his ankle. He actually had a human being chained to his body, a Roman guard. But that gave him, as we will see in later scriptures as we go, an opportunity that he had a captive audience to share the gospel of Christ with. And that was the theme of our annual conference, that we should get people out of the church and get them into the community, telling their faith stories and sharing the gospel and telling people, how can I pray for you and how can I love you and will you come and join me for worship at my church? It's not about programming to get people in the doors. It's about the people that are in the doors getting outside during the other 6 days of the week and doing the work of God in this community. So we've got a lot to hear from. You'll be hearing about some more of that in future days. But let me just tell you, Paul is here writing a joyful letter, and that's why the main title is called Joyful Living. Your joyful living, the joy that you're experiencing is because of course, the salvation of Jesus Christ in our lives, but also this letter is called the Epistle of Joy because we find 16 times in a letter that only has 104 sentences, the word joy or rejoice. Now, friends, that's 15% of every sentence has the word joy or rejoice in it. I thought about that myself, and I said, I wonder if I took did some statistics on how I speak, would 15% of the things I share, the things I talk about, be things of joy and rejoicing? And I would confess to you, no. So we are here studying the book of Philippians, this epistle of joy together with Paul, who is in Rome, in house arrest, chained to somebody, but where is his mind? Where is he thinking? Where is his heart? He is thinking about the church in Philippi, and he is rejoicing over them, and he is remembering them. And as we think about this scripture, I want to just say that there's three things I want to say. That it's so important that people are for you and that you can joyfully thank God for them and remember them. And that also that your hearts are filled with joy, then you remember this, as I read just a moment ago. God is never done with you. He is always at work in your salvation. He never quits on you, though you might step away, though you might say, I need a break, or maybe you leave the church for a while. It doesn't matter. If you were baptized like we celebrated just now, God is committed to the relationship, and he wants to come and fill you with Christ and the Holy Spirit, and he is committed to bringing about a perfect salvation in your life. And there is joy to be found in God's grace. Those are the things I'm going to try to address today in our moments together before we go to the communion table. The joy of Christian prayer. Paul knows that three things have happened in the church of Philippi. Number one, they sent Epaphroditus to him to help him as a helper. Someone actually left their home, attached themselves to Paul, and got sick along the way and had to be sent back home. But the fact that Epaphroditus, who we'll be hearing about in the sermon series, went to go be a support, they actually got sacrificially involved, made a commitment to help this apostle do the work of planting a churches all across Europe and other areas. Friends, we also celebrate that they gave money. The Philippian church gave money to support the work of Paul. And most importantly, they prayed for him. And so as he's writing the letter to the Philippians, where does he start? It almost sounds like a prayer. It almost sounds like a spontaneous prayer. He breaks out to talk about this idea that I am remembering you in my prayers today. With gratitude, I thank God for you. So friends, two things here I want to point out. Very important you kind of get these ideas and you put them together. One of them is this. When you know that people are for you, there is psychological impact that comes with that. Do you know that? When you know people are for you, what does it mean to be for you? It means that I am praying for you. It means that I am going to be here for you if you are in trouble. It means that I am going to be encouraging you. And it means that I will even disciple you and rearrange my calendar and give maybe money to support your endeavors or maybe to help mentor you in the faith. Those are ways that we can be involved to be for somebody. And the impact in their lives, get this, reduces stress, gives great resilience to recover from setbacks, increases confidence, and gives motivation to take healthy risks, like planting a church in New Hampshire. Friends, that's not the Bible Belt. that's not where the kingdom of God is flourishing. And this man feels the call to go there. He's taking risks. Why? Because he knows that he has people that are for him. And he knows that he has people that are praying for him, and that we are being supportive of him, and that we will continue to be in the journey with him. Now, that's the idea of knowing that people are for you. But what happens when you just practice gratitude? Now, I've been doing a gratitude journal. I'm on number 640 of things I thank God for in my journal. I've been working on it probably 6 weeks or so. I don't know how long it's been, but it's changing me. It's changing me to have eyes to see gratitude things. But when you are grateful, it relieves anxiety, it blesses your physical health, it lowers your blood pressure, it strengthens your immune system, and it helps you to sleep at night. Now, I would just say that I could say it also changes your mental attitude. But when you are grateful for the people who are for you, you bring all of those benefits together. And it's a double blessing. And guess what that double blessing is called? I'll give you a hint. It starts with the letter J. Joy. That's how he starts this letter. I'm mindful of you. I'm praying for you. You've been a blessing to me. You've been supportive of me. No matter where I am, we are sharing in this together. We are partners, and I thank God for you. That's why the Apostle Paul has such joy in his life. Friends, secondly, let's just say this. Our hearts should be filled with joy when we remember that God completes the work that he has begun. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Anyone want to celebrate with me that God desires to finish what he started? Are you not thankful that God finished the ordering of creation? That halfway through, he didn't get distracted and start doing something else, but he finished the ordering of creation that gives us the cycles of the world, that gives us the way in which oxygen is created by the trees and the water cycle. All of those things that God did is a part of creation. And he finished the work that he did and gave us a sustainable planet for us to live in. And when it came time for Jesus Christ to enter this world, he was coming in the flesh to what? Not just start the job, to finish the work among us. You know, God doesn't say, I'm the God of the half done. I'm the God of the good enough. I'm the God of, I'll get back to you on this. He finishes what he starts. And that is what Jesus said upon the cross. It is finished. It's not started. I didn't just start this, Lord. I have finished the work of salvation. I have made a pathway for sinners of this world to come to the awareness of their need for help. I am a Savior, and I lay down my life for you. And if you will receive the gift of Jesus Christ, you too can be saved. This is not a work of almost done. It's not a work of, oh, it could be better. It is finished by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what we will celebrate today at this communion table. The cup of salvation will be placed before you, and you are to remember the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. There's nothing more you need to do. You don't have to get your act right. You don't have to get good before God before you can come to this table. You are welcome to come to this table. God finishes the good work through this, and we celebrate it at this Holy Communion table today. Lastly, let me just say this. There is joy to be found as we share in God's grace together. I didn't realize until I got back into the studying of the book of Philippians that the letter to the Philippians was actually written 10 years after the founding of the church. 10 years after he met Lydia by the well out there and called her, had his first convert. 10 years after he stirred up all the trouble and ended up being beaten up and thrown in jail because he had delivered a demon out of a woman who was a fortune teller. 10 years later, a lot has happened. He's on other missionary journeys. They've already occurred, and he finds himself now in Rome. And Paul, who's been a missionary, who's been in chains, who's seen the joy and had a front row seat to the conversions of those who've responded to the gospel, the one who's been beaten and arrested, the one who stood before crowds and magistrates and huge leaders and has defended the faith and shared his personal testimony, was able to do that because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what this table is, friends, a representation of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what heartache you have had in this week past, but whatever you bring today to the table, there is grace enough here for you today. What does Paul say to the church in Corinth? My grace is sufficient for you, the words of Christ. Christ's grace is sufficient for you. In fact, in my weakness, I find I am strong because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, Paul has love and admiration. He is thinking of a church that is for him. He's thinking of a church that is praying for him. He is thinking of a church that is fruitful for him. Not like some other churches where there's controversy and he has to write continual letters to create and fix problems. He is overjoyed because of the work of God in the Philippian church. And I, friends, want to share with you that as I pray for Marvin Church, as I think about our faith family, as I think of those who leave this place and go to serve in other places, there is joy in my heart today because we share in the grace and the partnership of the ministry to change the world for Jesus Christ. Paul knew that power. So I ask this question, do you know how deeply loved you are by the people connected to you in this church? Whether they're in a band with you or a class meeting, whether they're in a Sunday school class or whether they are in just worship with you, do you know how much you're loved? Do you know that people are for you? Last week, I was blessed by a comment made by some friends. They'd been out of worship for a couple of months due to illness and recovery from a surgery that they said to me, there's nothing like being here. We've been watching you online, but it's not like being here in person. That's not because I'm a better communicator in person at all. That is not what they were saying. Friends, it's because they were with you, the people that they love, that they were able to say that. There's something that happens when God's people gets together, and there's something that happens that's very special when God's people gather at this table of grace. Hebrews 13:14 says, this world is not our homes, but we look forward to the home that is yet to come. Today we rehearse for a meal that will be shared sometime in the future when Christ returns and all of his followers, those who believe in his name, will gather around a table and share in Holy Sacrament meal together. But today, we are joyful because we know that we are among those who are for us. We are joyful because God is not done with us. He is constantly working on us, and we are joyful because we share in God's grace together. That is the epistle of joy. That's where we're heading. But for now, we are going to share in a meal as a family together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for baptism and the fact that we are a part of Madison's beginning of a faith journey that's marked by the watering of her heart, the watering of her soul, the placing of the water on her head, reminding us of your goodness and a new birth that is beginning. And Lord, we look forward to the day when she will make her profession of faith in Christ. And we celebrate the work of, that you're doing not only in her life, but in our lives together. So Lord, as we share in communion, may your grace abound. May your goodness flow. May you touch our hearts, whatever we're dealing with, and remind us that we are among friends. We are among family. We are most importantly with Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through his loving Son, The Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. For he will feed us with his presence here. This bread and wine will do us good. Our deepest hungers he will satisfy. For he is life and peace and rest and drink and food. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. We are now the family of which the Lord is head. Through unseen he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through his loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Come take the bread, come drink the wine. Come share the Lord.
on me. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. You may have noticed that we are worshiping in our fellowship hall. This is due to the installation of our long-awaited pipe organ. Please visit our website to learn more about our church, the new organ, and our ministry and serving opportunities. Contributions can be made to the church or by sending a check to the church. I hope you'll come and visit our church in person, and may God bless you.